This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
So it's been a tough old week for Manchester United. First of all, they lost to Bristol, then they drew with Leicester, and then on Boxing Day, they drew again, this time with Burnley. Mourinho, of course, has not been very quiet or tight-lipped about it. He's essentially been a bit of a grump, saying he needs to spend more money.
It's not like him.
It's not like him at all, is it? And he needs to spend more money on top of the £300 million he's already spent to catch Manchester City. Is he right? Simple as that.
He's very good at changing the agenda, is Mr. Mourinho, isn't he? Look, there's no doubt this is very calculated in that he's taken the deflection off what was a poor result at home to Burnley. However, if you take his comments at face value, and again, I think City are warping a lot. Do Manchester United need to spend more money to catch Manchester City? Yes, they do. I don't think he's saying they haven't spent money. I think what we're seeing now is a lot of... you're seeing the decay of a lot of poor investment under Van Gaal, Moyes, and even further back, Ferguson. Mm-hmm. Ferguson, in his last few years, bought poorly, with the exception of Van Persie, which masked everything. The signings he made were poor. So I think Mourinho, and again, we need to... Manchester United, the way it works, Mourinho comes up with the targets and he hands his list to Ed Woodward and he goes and signs a player. So I think Mourinho's still in a little bit of a huff that he didn't get Ivan Perisic, mm-hmm. which at the time we maybe thought, why does he want Ivan Perisic? But he's an out-and-out winger, and maybe now we're starting to see why he wanted him. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of different layers, which I'm sure we'll go into in Mourinho's comments. But on face value, do Man United need to spend more money? Yes, they do, because I don't see how else they can catch Manchester City.
Surely you agree with that, yeah?
Line me up there. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to agree with there, but I think this is just classic Mourinho. He's almost every club he's ever coached, he's always complained at one point about needing more players, or they need to sign certain levels of things. I mean, even at Man United, this isn't the first time he's put pressure on the board to spend more money at Man United already, and he's done it at previous clubs as well. I do think this is more of a deflection tactic, if I'm being honest with you. I mean, if you want to, the inevitable comparison is with Manchester City, but if you want to look at Mourinho's career as a whole, I think you could still make perfect arguments that his greatest achievements were when, you know, he had to make do with what he was given. Inter Milan's probably the perfect example of that, yeah, where he had like players like Milito, an aging
well.
Samuel Eto'o,
yeah,
of course, Porto. He turned Wesley Schneider around, an old, you know, someone who everyone thought was done. So, you know, when he's forced to coach, he's one of the best coaches in the world. And I think at Man United, things like this might be getting in the way. Man United aren't behind Man City because they haven't spent as much as Man City. It's because Mourinho hasn't coached Man United as well as Pep's coached Man City.
So would you say he's not making the most of what he's got at the moment then?
That's very difficult, because I think Man United's problems are defensive. In the attacking sense, I think they're doing as well as they probably could be doing. There are a few questions over Mkhitaryan, of course, but defensively, I looked at that defence against Burnley, or generally over the last few weeks, the Man United's defence has been Ashley Young, Chris Smalling, Phil Jones and Antonio Valencia. All four of those players were signed under Sir Alex Ferguson. Manchester United have spent, in 4 years, I think they've spent £600 million. How are they still playing those four at the back? Victor Lindelof looks like a bit of a dud, I have to say. He's not really coming to the fore in the way I expected him to. Eric Bailly, of course, is injured. I think he's maybe the one exception. He looks like a good first-team player. So I feel like they need to focus their spending a little bit more. I think they still need a central midfielder. Other than that, Man United can leave the attacking midfield and up front for a while. They need to focus on the defence. And more importantly than that, actually, if Mourinho is looking at Pep Guardiola and saying, look how much money he's been given, I think he also needs to look at how Pep Guardiola completely rid his squad of all the dead wood. That is what Jose Mourinho needs to do. Even players like Kolarov, Sanya, who weren't bad players, but they weren't of the standard that Guardiola is looking for. It's the same with players like Young and Valencia, who have played reasonably well this season, but they're not going to take Manchester United to a Premier League title. Mm-hmm. Mourinho needs to get rid of all those players.
Yeah, I mean, I think this kind of comes down to whether this is a Jose Mourinho problem or a Manchester United problem. I mean, as you made the point, Graham, Woodward is the one who ultimately makes the signings. And it could be a case that Mourinho is putting forward defenders, but Man United is a club, and we've made this point in the show before, under Woodward, to me, they come across more like a kind of Galactico 2.0, where Woodward's only really interested in signing players that will sell shirts.
Don't
get me wrong, Pogba, etc., all fantastic players, but there seems to be like a clear emphasis on signing, you know, sexy attacking football players. When, I mean, can you, for example, could you ever see Man United under Woodward signing like a Mangala for 40 million or a Kyle Walker for 50? Perhaps not the best deal in the world, but I can't ever see them making these expensive, boring signings that really ultimately they have to do.
Well, I mean, that's encapsulated last week. I think it was Marca that said last week in Spain that Mourinho wants that, I can't say I know much about him, but Malcolm from Bordeaux, who's going to cost 40 million. And instead of sending a player to France, Woodward sent a delegate to watch the Clásico, to watch Gareth Bale, who they've been obsessed with for about four or five years. Yes, I do think Mourinho has Woodward more on a leash than Van Gaal certainly did, because Van Gaal didn't want Falcao and Di Maria and all these players, and more than Moyes did certainly. But still, there's a bit of work to be done. I do think it's a lot, going back to the coaching point, I always do think it's a little bit rich people having a go at Mourinho for his lack of being a coach. Mourinho made his reputation on being the best coach in Europe, as shown by, as Stefan says, Porto and Inter Milan, where he wasn't expected to win the Champions League and did it with them.
Do you think he still coaches as much? And that may sound stupid, but because he's now at clubs like Madrid and Man United, and even Chelsea when he was there for both these times as manager, they always had money to spend, much more than Inter Milan did, much more than Porto did. Is he maybe just not as much of a coach as he once was? He's relied on spending millions of pounds for the last few jobs, surely.
I think on the face of it, this Man United team very much looks like a Jose Mourinho team. You know, they are playing the way you'd expect them to play. They're set up the way you'd expect his teams to set up. Whether or not he's still getting maybe the extra 5 or 10% that meant, you know, that allowed Chelsea to beat Barcelona back in the day, for example, or Inter Milan to get to the final, win the Champions League against a better Bayern Munich team, for example. I don't think I see that in this Man United side. I don't know if I see them, you know, for example, the way that he used to like meticulously fixate on an opponent, and if there's any coach in world football that you think could find the weaknesses in a better team and then find the weaknesses in his team and fix them for a specific game. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm seeing that at Man United yet under him. It still seems to me like, yeah, they're playing Mourinho football, which means they're a bit boring at times, and then, you know, but to me, it doesn't seem like this kind of well-oiled machine that usually comes when Mourinho's in charge.
If you'd asked me that question a couple of weeks ago, I would have said that he's still doing a good job of coaching a team. However, the two games, the Bristol one's an anomaly. I'm not, I've put that to the side, it's a League Cup game. But the Leicester game and the Burnley game, you know, Manchester United losing a last-minute equaliser through poor marking, where Leicester had 10 men, they had a man advantage, and yet they still managed to leave a man at the back post. Further more than that, Chris, the reason they left a man on the back post was because Chris Smalling was injured, and that was his man at the back post. Previous Mourinho wouldn't have done that, and I'm wary of saying that because I do reject this narrative a little bit that Mourinho's on the decline, which I'm sure we'll go into a little bit. I do reject that to a certain extent, but it's difficult to imagine the Mourinho of Pete Chelsea doing that. Burnley as well, you know, 1-0 down after 3 minutes in a must-win Boxing Day game. It's just not very Mourinho-esque.
We're a long time gone since the Mourinho glaze.
It does seem like so long ago. We'll talk about his like potential decline, if you want to call it that, in a second, but we were talking just before Stefan came, because he was late, Graham and I, and you said another problem against Burnley in particular was Ibrahimovic, and you've been quite vocal on this show before about your thoughts on Ibrahimovic and this Man United side. How much of a problem is that? Because they do obviously look good in an attacking sense, but they don't really have much of a plan B when Lukaku's not scoring.
And that isn't the plan B that seems to be working, Ibrahimovic.
I need to separate with Ibrahimovic. He's a great player and has been a great player, but he's just a misfit in this Manchester United team. The Boxing Day game against Burnley was the perfect encapsulation. You know, they were so slow, so sluggish, so predictable when Ibrahimovic is up front. He comes off at half-time. They put on Lingard. I'm not an idiot. Jesse Lingard is not as good a player as Zlatan Ibrahimovic, but he's just fast and finds space. And when you have Lukaku up front there, you don't also need Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Mm-hmm. So I won't go on too much into this because I've said this is probably about the fifth or sixth time. I struggle to see what Zlatan brings to this team at this point.
Well, let's go back then to Mourinho. Is he on a decline? Is he on a decline as a top manager? I mean, I think I feel a bit bad for him, to be honest, because like this Man City side are pretty exceptional. So I think it's really easy to kind of Mourinho bash, and he is grumpy and he's not likeable sometimes. But Is he still a top level coach? Is the kind of bottom line?
I mean, we won't know that until his time at United's done, basically, because he could go on win league titles, Champions Leagues, and then, you know, that might end up being the defining moment of his career, you know, in 20 years' time. What I do wonder is, rather than his Mourinho declining, I wonder if the perception about him has changed over the years, not only in the sense that, you know, there's maybe a Mourinho fatigue, that basically everyone's just a bit fed up of his boring football, but also the fact that when he first came on the scene, he was the young guy going up against the old guns, and he got the better of first Alex Ferguson and then Arsene Wenger, and he's never stopped having the best of Arsene Wenger, and you can tell he takes a lot of delight in that. Now, if you turn that on its head, you've then got him come up against people like Pochettino, and Guardiola is the obvious one. But there are other coaches around Europe, for example, Conte and, you know, Atletico Madrid, whose name I've totally forgotten.
Simeone.
So
Klopp to a certain extent.
And Klopp too, yeah. So he's now kind of moved into this kind of establishment role, and he's now what everyone has been kind of compared to. Until now, this season in particular, was obviously the case of Real Madrid too, when that was perhaps his first stumbling block in terms of his coaching career. He's come up against Pep Guardiola, who is perceived to be younger, plays sexier football, far more interesting for neutrals. And I think there's a lot of much better goodwill towards Pep in that regard. And I think that then negatively connotates towards Mourinho as well.
It's interesting you raised the Real Madrid spell there, because I think the parallels are actually a little bit uncanny. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much playing out exactly how it was.
No eye gouging
the
yet.
First no eye gouging mm-hmm. yet, thankfully. But Mourinho got caught up in this drama with his personal duel with Guardiola. The same thing happened. You know, he didn't like this whole narrative of good versus evil, him being the evil, Guardiola being good. Second season, he knuckled down and he almost put faith in his player. I was reading, actually, first season, remember they lost 5-0 at the Bernabeu? Mm-hmm. Or was it the Bernabeu? But anyway, they lost 5-0 to Barcelona. At that point, Real Madrid trailed Barcelona by 9 points, and they were having the exact same discussion about Mourinho on the decline, so and so. He said they needed to sign more players at that point. He did get those players, and then he put his faith in his team the second season, and Real Madrid just showed themselves to be a better team, or certainly, and when it mattered, they showed themselves to be a better team. So next season is where we'll really learn if he is in decline, as Stefan says. And also, I would point out, Pep Guardiola, I'm not trying to take away what Guardiola's done, because obviously he's setting new standards. This could be the best Premier League team ever. But he did inherit a much better team than Jose Mourinho. Yeah. If you look at the world-class players he had, and he's improved them all, but he had De Bruyne, David Silva, Raheem Sterling Aguero. Was there, Aguero, of course. Mourinho maybe only had one world-class player, and that was his goalkeeper, David De Gea. Everyone else, he's had to assemble pretty much an entirely new team, and he's only maybe halfway through it, or two-thirds of the way through it. So I think next season, it's always been a three-year project, I think next season we'll learn a lot.
In January, can you see him signing anybody in defence that's going to make a big difference to the Ferguson backline, essentially, as you said? I mean, I think it was in his comments at the weekend, he was saying Man City are spending striker kind of money on their fullbacks. Is there a fullback out there that they could perhaps sign in January? Or is it going to be, it's as you know, in January it's difficult to kind of make that marquee signing. Are we going to have to wait till next season for that defence to be shored up?
I feel like we say this every season, but Luke Shaw coming back from injury might be perceived as a new signing, because he has looked good since he's came in, and he's probably exactly what they do need in terms of a fullback.
Spent a striking amount of money on him as well.
Exactly. Anyway, he plays like a striker sometimes. Yeah. But you know, I think when it comes to like maybe the rumours that have been linked, the silence is deafening in this regard. Why is it every Premier League team is linked to Virgil van Dijk except Manchester United? You know, and he's clearly
read that article today.
Yeah, right, fair enough.
Oh, of course you have. You know, and it doesn't have to be Van Dijk. There's a number of good centre-backs out there. But why is it Man United not being linked to these guys? And this goes back to my point that it's kind of ironic that Mourinho says, oh, you know, we don't spend, or Manchester City are spending striker value on fullbacks. It's his own director of football that probably makes the decision not to buy these defenders for that price. So I don't see them really going for a huge marquee defender, because it's January, transfer window is usually quite hard, and it doesn't seem like that's the way Man United are run these days.
No, I mean, this in January, I think it'll be very difficult. In the summer, I would be probably looking at fullbacks is very difficult, because I feel like everyone in world football is looking for fullbacks. I don't really have an answer. Luke Shaw, as Stefan says, could be a good option, but Mourinho doesn't seem to like him for some apparent reason. But in terms of centre backs, I would be maybe looking to try and poach one of the Spurs to Spurs as. Kyle Walker has proven will sell if the price is right, if the price is exorbitant. But
the age-old technique of Man United in trouble, just go buy a Tottenham player.
Brutal. Yeah.
I mean, just finally then, how do you think this ends for Mourinho and Man United?
It ends with the two, him and Woodward, falling out the front doors of Old Trafford in like a cartoonesque scuffle, and then them just rolled around Manchester, beating the hell out of each other.
I see, okay. And then
and then he eventually eye gouges Woodward, and then he walks off into the sunset and says, "I'm too good for this." To PSG, yeah. With his son.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm guessing you might have some sort of less gibberish answer.
Sorry, Stefan.
Well, you weren't being serious.
Every episode, you could do that sums up.
That's so difficult. I'll make a bold prediction. I think Mourinho will get the better of Pep one season, and then the next season he'll completely melt down and follow the old cycle. But, I mean, at Barcelona, I don't think it'll actually be Jose maybe getting the better of him. Pep seems to wear himself out after 3 years. Yeah. I think it might be a combination of the two. But
it could be a battle for PSG's managerial
seat. Yeah, exactly. The battle for Paris. Yeah. Yeah.
Whoever loses, PSG wins.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.